Ross Foreman with Impact Wrestling. Exciting week for us here at Slam Week 15, getting ready. Before we welcome Scott Steiner for today's media teleconference, we do have one special guest who I'd like to welcome. Let's welcome Jeff Jarrett.
Thank you, Ross. And first off, I'd like to thank everyone who's joining this call. This is all about Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner, but I did want to kick things off at the very top and thank everyone. We're super excited. It seems like over the last 7 to 10 days, the Slammiversary promotion, he's really began to build, and we're looking forward to this summer, this Sunday, and celebrating our 15th anniversary. A lot of you callers I know have been with us since day one. Obviously, there's some new folks, but I just want to give a little background on how this teleconference came about. When we signed up Scott to be a part of Slammiversary, I thought he was actually joking when he said he wanted to do a lot of media, because Scott, at times in his career, hadn't always been media friendly, but he was dead serious. But he said he only had one caveat: he gets to do it his way. So I'm going to bow out of this conference. I think sometimes his media sometimes goes off the rail, a little bit uncensored, unbarred, and that's what this call is about. But Scott has been an integral part of Impact over the last 15 years. Obviously, we have a personal history that goes back 30 years, but Scott was here, part of the Main Event Mafia, had many, many contributions over the years. So at this time, I'll sort of turn it over to Ross and Scott. But again, thank everyone. Looking forward to the show on Sunday. And again, I cannot thank all you guys' support enough. And I hope this conference call goes as well as everyone hopes it does. And I think that has multiple meanings. So again, thanks, and looking forward to this Sunday.
Thank you, Jeff. We're going to open it up very briefly for comments from Scott, and then we will, of course, open it up for questions. Everybody is muted at this point. I will, at that point, you'll hear an option on the phone. It's *6 and then a 1 if you have a question to ask, and then we'll get the question. Scott has limited time today, so let's please, one question per person. We're going to try to get through as much as we can. Scott, the floor is yours. You got an amazing match. We're looking forward to it. You and Josh Matthews against Joseph Park and JB.
Ross.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Listen, you know, I some people, when I talk, do these interviews, I wake up, I swear I'm in a good mood, and something happens and pisses me off. I've been calling for 10 minutes, and now I just get through the phone. What's wrong with this, man? Why you make me wait 10 minutes?
Well, we're done with the 10 minutes and we're moving on. So let's talk about the big match.
But you just snapped me, man. It's like, I'm not, go ahead. It's like, you frustrated me calling this number 515 over and over. Now I'm back on and now you piss me off. No matter what happens, something pissed me off. You started this interview on a wrong foot. I'm telling you that right now. And I'm not joking.
I apologize, Scott. Of course, no harm meant. But let me just ask you about your match Sunday at Slammiversary, teaming with Josh Matthews against JB and Joseph Park.
Yeah, somebody's going to get punched. Maybe all three of them. Josh Bastion called me up. Want to know if I could do what I do best is beat people up. The money's right, so I said yes, and that's the way everything, the ball got rolling.
You know, I was curious, if I could ask a question.
That's as I can put it.
In your list of topics that you chose to discuss in this thing, you brought up your hatred for Jeremy Borash. Could you explain that?
It's not a deep rooted heat. I just look at the butterball, and it's like, you know, when I do my interviews, it's like I speak the truth. I hate fat asses, and Jeremy's put on some weight. It's disturbing. It's not deep rooted, but it's like, it's hard. It's to the point where I just bitch slap him. That's about how hot, much hate it is. That's enough for a full-place punch. It's a bitch slap for Jeremy.
Now, that sounds, I'm sure he's looking forward to that. Scott, I'm just going to put you on hold 1 second. We're going to open it up for some questions from the media. And, again, you'll hear the option on the phone. It's *6 and then *1 if you have questions. And we'll go rapidly through them.
Q&A session has started. To ask your question, please press *6.
Hi, Scott. This is Tommy McCardle from ringscoops.com. How are you doing today? In the press release that was given, you mentioned that you were going to talk about all things Waffle House. So my question to you, actually a two-part question. One is, what is your favorite menu item at the Waffle House? And second, which do you prefer better, the Waffle House or Cracker Barrel, and why?
Well, I think that was just put out like Waffle House. I think that was just like talking about food in general. Because, you know, that being on the road, that's one of the hardest things to do is find a good restaurant. And, Waffle House is one of the most reliable, better restaurants because it's open all night and it's pretty reasonable, in and out real quick. But if I go there, I usually just get eggs, hash browns, smattered, covered, and smothered. And, Cracker Barrel is great also. That's another favorite stop. And, of course, you know, I own a Shoney's now, so I've made that, you know, great American food. That's one of the reasons why I got into opening up Shoney's is because I want the option, you know, for the people going down the highway, because I'm right off of Highway 75 and back to 277, to have pull off real quick and get something to eat. So that was mainly one of my reasons why I started it, to have good food. And I mean, there's a lot of good restaurants, but it's hard to find them when you're traveling so much. So that was one of the reasons why we're talking about Waffle House and some of the restaurants that I've always stopped at when I was been on the road for the last 25 years, 30 years.
Hey, Scott, thanks for taking time out to talk to us today. You've been in this industry for years. You've seen it all. What do you think it takes to make it in professional wrestling these days, and to what do you attribute your longevity?
It takes a combination of a lot of things, timing being one of them, having a good presence, having the it factor, having, you know, looking good, and, you know, in-ring ability, and luck has a lot to do with it also. So, I mean, not everybody starts out great. It's a process that takes years to perfect, and it's a profession that you can always get better at. So I've been fortunate starting out where I did. You know, I first started out with Dick the Bruiser up in the Detroit area, right after I graduated from Michigan, and then went down to Jeff and Jeff's dad and Jerry Lawler, and started there. And then from right there, went to NWA with Ted Turner.
Media, if you'd please introduce yourself and your outlet when you ask a question for Scott, that would be appreciated.
Hey, Scott, Ryan Bowman from thegorillaposition.com. Thanks for your time today and for a lot of years of great memories. You've been beating up people and winning championships for a long time now. Now that you're an Impact, you've already been beating people up, or are you thinking about maybe another title run while you're there?
Man, I just focus, you know, one punch at a time, one match at a time, hurting one person at a time. So as far as looking ahead, I really haven't gave that much thought. But, you know, anything can happen. You know, it's like right now I want to reach through the phone and grab Ross's neck for making me wait 10 minutes to get out of the line. So anything is possible. You know, piss me off, things happen.
Hey, Scott, Mike Johnson from PW Insider. Hope you're having a good day.
Hey, what's up, Matt?
Do you feel vindicated by the fact that you're in a prominent position on the Slammiversary show, given all the legal issues that went on between you and the company when Dixie Carter was the owner? And do you feel like the bad blood's been settled since she's pretty much out of the company, or is it still piss you off, the whole situation still piss you off?
I think anybody that saw it was a joke. She's a joke. She was basically paying the foot in the bill. So, talk the truth about Hogan. As far as now, it's like, she dropped the case. It's like, we'll see what happens because, it's not over.
Hi, Scott. It's Dan from TWS Radio. Thank you for your time today. My question is really quite simple, to be honest. We have something which we call on TWS Radio Pineapple Gate, and it's following on from the Waffle House question. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no, in your opinion?
No, not as a combination. Yeah. Separately, yes. I don't think I really didn't transfer. I think I heard the guy say, "What's my favorite time in TNA wrestling right now?"
What were some of your favorite memories?
My favorite memory is when we all were the main event mafia. All the champions were together, and that was a lot of fun because you had a lot of history in the ring. Every time we stepped in the ring and a lot of us had been around for a long time. So the stuff that we did backstage, what was, actually seen on TV was the stuff that didn't make it on TV was also entertaining and is funny as hell. So that was the most fun. And it was, to date, that's been the highest rated, portion of TNA's existence. So a lot of people bought into it because of the reality of everything. It was a lot of fun.
Hi, Scott. This is Raj Giri with WrestlingInc.com. I just wanted to know how it's changed backstage when you appeared on Impact this last time as opposed to the last time you were there.
The very last time, very last time there, I had Bruce Pritchard trying to kick me out of the Impact Zone. So, piece of garbage.
I met under Jeff Jarrett as opposed to under Dixie Carter when you were there.
Oh, I think if you talk to anybody, it was a huge difference. I think when people see Jeff, they know that he knows what he's doing. Clearly everybody knew Dixie didn't know what she's doing. She's just, she was a mark wanting to be on TV in it. So, it was night and day. People want to come to work. They're excited about what they're going to be doing. And, it is totally different atmosphere.
Hi, it's James Drupany from Total Wrestling. Thank you for your time, Scott. One of the subjects today was for the University of Michigan. What has been the effect of your university wrestling career on your pro wrestling career?
A lot of the moves the suplex that I used and was when I first went to the University of Michigan, my freshman year, I had to train with the guy who was eventually the first American to win the Olympic champion in Greco-Roman wrestling in 84 Olympics. So I've learned a lot of wrestling throws and stuff from him. His name is Steve Frazier. And so a lot of the suplexes that I, step around suplexes that I learned from, that was one of the moves I learned from him. And so I try to, incorporate that in my professional career. And, it brings a certain amount of realism to it because, I see guys doing suplex today. They're not, doing it right, but I try to incorporate a lot of my amateur wrestling into professional wrestling, and a lot of people seem to enjoy it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi, Mr. Papa Pump. This is I'm from the Pro Wrestling Reporter. I just wanted to see if there's any chance.
Oh, whoa! What's your name?
My name is Richard Mike Johnson. Yes, sir, Mike Johnson from PW Insider calling.
Richard Mike Dawson.
Yes, sir.
Richard Mike Dawson.
Yes, sir. Richard
Johnson or Dawson?
Yes, sir. Wanted to call and see if there's any possibility that you're just going to cancel this whole thing for Sunday. This whole ridiculous. Call the whole match off. I mean, you have nothing left to prove in your career, Matt. You've got it all.
Let me tell you something, Richard Michael Johnson Dawson, whatever your name is. You tell Joseph Park, as soon as he gets to the thing, I'm going to start from. As soon as he parks his car, puts it in park, I'm going to be on his ass. All right? You got that, Richard, Michael, Dodson, Joseph?
You could get arrested. Universal Police are there. I mean, it's a bad idea, sir. This is called the whole thing off. It was a big bunch of fun. We were joking around. Please, sir, please.
Do you think we were joking around, Joseph?
This is not Joseph. This is Richard Michael, whatever my name is. Just please, can we call the whole thing off, please?
Let me tell you something, Joseph Park. I'm going to take you, I'm going to make you scream for your brother, all right? Because everybody knows your brother is the tougher wrestler, all right? You're probably beat up as a kid by him all these years, so you had to whip aside yourself and be a lawyer. See, that's one thing I don't like, Joseph, is lawyers. They're the scum of the earth, and you're a scum of the earth because you're a lawyer. Don't call in here saying you're Michael Johnson Gladson, whatever. I know it's you, Joseph, and I'm going to beat your ass.
Scott, I apologize. I don't know how he got this phone number. Please accept my apology. We're going to move on to the next question.
Hi, Scott. Girl Samuel from Real Sport. You've had a lot of success as a tag team wrestler with your brother and with Booker T. How do you think Josh Matthews is going to measure up as a tag team partner?
Oh, he's not. I mean, but you know, he can. All he has to do is when I beat these guys to a pulp, all he's got to do is get on top of them, cover 1, 2, 3 when the guy's unconscious. So that's his job. It's pretty simple. If he can fall down to his knees and flop on somebody, that's all he needs to do.
Hi, Scott. This is Raj Geary with WrestlingInc.com again. I wanted to ask, like, your persona and everything, they don't make wrestlers like you anymore. And I just wanted to know, having been in the business for 30-plus years, what are your thoughts on the business today? And are there changes you think that should be made?
Yeah, the first two changes, they need to get rid of Stephanie McMahon and Hunter McMahon because they're two idiots. They're running the whole place up there. It's like, I mean, I feel sorry for the wrestlers nowadays. They got to, you know, follow the instructions of these two idiots that clearly don't know what they're doing. People don't want to watch it because the ratings are down. And the reason why I'm calling Hunter McMahon, because he's obviously wears the pants. He's a ballish, walk-around human being that, you know, needs to check himself in and see what, you know, what's really going on down there.
Hey, Scott. Tommy McArdle from ringscoops.com here again. My question here is not if, but when you are inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, do you see yourself being inducted by yourself or with your brother Rick?
First off, you know, people always bring that up, like, wonder about me. You go, I'm not going to the WWE Hall of Fame. Because, you know, I'm not going somewhere where there's nowhere to go. GPS to WWE Hall of Fame, where's it at? See, I'm not going somewhere where if I get in trouble or something, I can't call 911. I can't have a beacon call and call the Coast Guard, because who knows? It could be in Atlantis for all I know, or it could be anyone. I mean, parts unknown. I'm not going into WWE. It's a joke. Because how can you go somewhere and visit somewhere in the Hall of Fame? It's non-existent. I mean, it'd be better off if they put the WWE Hall of Fame on the moon. At least you can say, look up at the moon at night and say, wow, WWE Falls Family. And even if I get in trouble in the Hall of Fame, it's on the moon, I can call NASA and maybe they come and rescue me. It's like the WWE Hall of Fame doesn't exist. Where does it exist except in the mind of some people up there? It's a joke. I'm not going in the WWE Hall of Fame. You know, cancel your reservation if you want to go see, because it's not happening. As a matter of fact, I got a question for you. You are still online?
No, he's over at the next call.
You can ask me, though, if you want, Scott. It's Dan from TWS Radio. I'll field the question if you want to ask it.
All right. Ask you the question?
Yeah, go on. Why not?
Okay. Let me ask you. Like, what do you think, you know, they make these statues? Where do you think the statue of Ric Flair is at right now?
Well, that's a good question. My gut feeling is it's in some warehouse somewhere.
You think? How about that statue of the Macho Man?
The same. I would imagine they're stored together. Where do you think they are?
Well, no. Have you seen the statue of the Macho Man?
That's a very good point, actually. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
No, they haven't done
that's never going to leave Stephanie's bedroom. So, no, you ain't going to ever see that. Where do you think all these statues are at? Because there sure ain't no building. You're probably right. They're probably collecting dust in a warehouse somewhere.
Now, so they did put a physical Hall of Fame.
What's that?
If you did that, they did actually put a physical Hall of Fame, a physical one that you go to, would you then be happy to be inducted, or is it still a no from your point of view?
Well, it depends. Vince gets paid to put on a show. Yeah, pay me. Because Vince is getting paid to show the program. I mean, I'm doing anything for free. He doesn't do anything for free once, you know. So, yeah, price is right.
Hi, Scott. It's the real Mike Johnson from PW Insider now. Following up, I guess, on the Hall of Fame trend here, was there any resolution at all to the situation where you had words with Hulk Hogan's wife, which led to WWE banning you and having people looking for you at the Hall of Fame because Hogan was threatened by your potential presence? Did anything ever come of that beyond Hogan going to the authorities? And how do you feel about Hogan today?
No, I had to get had my lawyer call the police department because he tried to, you know, get me arrested for assault, threatening his life. I mean, yeah, that's a series of, you know, that carries 15, 20 years, so. And then, of course, WWE takes the word of a racist, you know, and puts my picture all over the entrances so I can't, like, I'm going to go there, So, no, nothing ever came of it. So, other than the fact that I had, you know, Hogan shows what a coward he really is, you know, and somebody, you know, I mean, lucky it happened at a, you know, airport where I had all the cameras so I could, you know, it was easy to prove my innocence.
We could end the questions, please, about the WWE Hall of Fame and move back to Scott's match at Slammiversary and other topics.
Hey, Scott. Thomas Fenton, Wrestling News World fellow U of M grad. Was wondering if you'd ever consider being an honorary captain from Jim Harbaugh at U of M.
Say that again.
Was wondering if you'd ever consider being an honorary captain for University of Michigan with Jim Harbaugh. I know he's a big fan of pro wrestling and actually a big fan of you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw Jim when he had one of those satellite camps. I went down and took my boys down there. I talked for him a little bit. Actually, I was going to be a part of that the signing day this year, but they changed the format. So, I love the University of Michigan. I had the greatest time there. Met a lot of great people there I'm still friends with today. I can't say enough about the University of Michigan.
University of Michigan. It was like one of the funnest times of my life. And it'd be an honor to go back to Michigan and be an honorary captain.
Hi, Scott. David Dunn with the New Zealand Pro Wrestling Informer. It's come out today that Impact Wrestling has acquired Global Force Wrestling. Obviously, the two companies have been working closely together for the year, but what do you think this formal acquisition means for the two moving on in 2017?
Well, it's just, you know, everything's better from here on out. You know, Jeff's putting a lot of things together, getting all the great talent that's out there around the world, and I think everything is looking good for moving forward for Impact Wrestling. So it's a great thing.
Hey, Scott, it's Mike from PW Insider again. The question I wanted to ask earlier before we ended up on the tangent, what's your status with Impact going forward past Slammiversary? Have you signed a deal? Are you working the TV tapings? Are you considered a full-time Impact performer again? Where do you stand with Impact on July 3rd on?
No, I haven't had any talks on anything that passes, you know, past Slammiversary. But, you know, if I'm open to the fact where if somebody wants to hire me again to beat somebody up that they don't like, whether it be, you know, in the Impact zone or, you know, or we got these, like I said, I already said my distaste for lawyers, anybody in the Orlando area that wants to call me up and, you know, take out a lawyer that you have a problem with it, where they, you know, increase their phone bill or your bill, but make a frivolous phone call to you to run up the bill. I could do that too. So, no, I'm open with suggestions. You know, call me up. I'll beat somebody up.
Hi, Scott. This is Nick Hausman with WrestleZone.com. I was wondering if you could please mathematically break down Jeremy Borash and Abyss's odds of success at Slammiversary.
Unfortunately, I don't have, you know, zero. It's pretty hard to come up with a very interesting way to put zero. You know, as far as the one you know, that's a very, a lot of people love that interview, the one I did with Smojo. I mean, I went over to Europe, like England and Glasgow and a couple other places with the Inside the Ropes thing. And that was one of the questions. They put that thing on a screen, ran the whole thing, and they loved it. It was just something that came off the top of my head, and that's what came out. And you know, I had fun with it, and people enjoyed it. But you know, it's hard to come up with interesting combination with zero. You know, he has zero chance.
This is James Trupany from Total Wrestling again. As this weekend is about tag team wrestling, what are your favorite tag teams to watch apart from the Steiner Brothers?
You talking about now, man? I don't watch a lot of wrestling now. It's hard to watch. But the ones I do, the guys that I do watch or do know is like the Usos, because you know I wrestle with their dad and their uncles. Also, even though he's not a tag team, or he's a tag team once in a while, is Bray Wyatt. Because, you know, I used to play with him when he was a little boy in the ring, and you know, I was like, run around. He was the funniest little kid. He loved wrestling. I used to take him in the ring and that. So he was a good kid, man. I had a lot of fun with him, and to watch him now, it's like, it's, you know, he does a hell of an interview. He's actually awesome, you know. So, but I don't watch a lot of wrestling. It's hard to watch, man. I get that a lot from a lot of fans too. It's just hard to watch, and I feel bad for the wrestlers now that they're pigeonholed into these stupid gimmicks that they have to do. You know, it's like they don't let people be themselves, like the way it was when I started watching, or the way it was when I was wrestling. It's like you had to come up with your own stuff, or you didn't get over. You didn't have a job, so. I hope that answers your question.
Hey, Scott. Jason from Icon versus Icon here. Obviously, you have fans all over the world. I was curious, you know, what is the best lesson that those fans can take from your journey as a professional wrestler and as a human being?
Persistence. You know, nobody starts at the top. You know, it took a lot of hard work. A lot of stubbornness, a lot of patience. It was a journey, and it was something that I had to work for. It really was, you know, with all, you know, the way politics are and the backstab and all, it took a lot of, you know, persistence and stick-to-itiveness. So took a certain amount of toughness to keep going. But, you know, wrestling is a tough sport, man. It's like it's not like it was back when we first started, where you're traveling, you know, 330 days a year, but it's still, you're still beating your body up year round. So you just got to stick to it, man.
Hi, Scott. It's Nick Hausman from WrestleZone.com again. I had one more question, and that was if there's anybody on the Impact Wrestling roster right now that you see as a dream match for yourself, somebody that you would really like to be able to wrestle against.
I would have to say any of the, you know, the Knockouts. You know, anytime you can, you know, wrestle with one of the women, you know, and like, oh, God, I'm on my back, you're winning, you know, that's, or, you know, oh, put me in this position. You know, that'd be a dream.
Hey, Scott, it's Tommy from RingScoops.com again. What are your thoughts on the Vince Russo-Jim Cornette situation and the restraining order that Vince Russo has on Jim Cornette?
You know, I just called a little bit the other day when I was, like, bored and it popped up. Jim Cornette's thing was the way he did it in a satirical way. His response was funny as hell. That's Jim, you know. It was comical, man. His response was comical. I was like, and he did it for the whole interview, like, and even the way he signed off was like, oh, I hate to scare that little fella. It was very funny, but I don't know the reason why you would do a restrainer or, but I can't answer for Vince because I don't know what happened, but I just caught Jim's reply and I thought it was pretty funny.
Hey, Scott, Ryan Bowman from thegorillaposition.com again. You said you didn't really care about the Hall of Fame at all, but every great wrestler has a legacy. When it's all said and done, what's the legacy of Big Papa Pump?
Well, see, I'm in the Hall of Fame in Michigan. I'm in the Dan Gable Hall of Fame. So, you know, Dan Gable was the head coach of Iowa when I was wrestling at Michigan. So, and he had a string of, like, you know, 17, 18 national championships. So I talked to him when I was there, and that was, you know, because I had actually beat one of those guys when the finals were in the Big Ten finals were at Iowa City that year. And it was nice to be remembered by him, you know, as great a wrestler he was, you know. But, you know, when I go out in these independent shows and talk to him, I mean, that's good enough for me, man. Just, you know, WWE has all the, you know, the library of WCW, but, you know, they could try to deny me, you know, take me off everything and not put me on. They don't put me on the Goldbergs DVD, but I'm one of the few guys that beat them. It's like, come on, man. So if they want to do it, they do what they do, you know, pay back, you know. You want to treat me like shit, I'll treat you like shit. So it all comes down to how the fans remember you.
Hey, Scott. Tyancy here from Wrestling Memes. I actually just wanted to kind of bring the positivity of Slammiversary up for the event, and I was just hoping that you'd be able to say one nice thing about both of your opponents for this Sunday. Would that be possible?
Oof. No, not really. No, when I'm going to... If I'm going to fight somebody, I don't bring anything positive. I just think, oh, you know, even if it does, it's not true. I think about, what, you kicked my dog? You know what I mean? It's like, I'll make up things so I get pissed off and I want to punch you even more. Because, you know, but maybe after, ask me this question after the match, maybe, you know. But, no, right now, all I'm thinking is like, you know, you stole my bike when I was a kid. You know, something, you know, just sort of hidden, pent-up anger, and it all comes out during the match, you know. So, no, right now, it's all negative, and I'm going to punch these guys.
Hello, Scott?
Yes.
Hi, it's George Bolton calling from The Sun. I wanted to talk about your second spell in WWE, in particular when you worked at Triple H. How was your relationship with him, and how did he treat you?
Oh, to my face, is great. You know what I mean? You know, but see, people keep on, you know, people ask me about this, you know, you're asking about it now, and it's like, oh, I was talking about Brett before, he's bitter. No, you understand, like, that punk ass set up this match, we practiced this match, and at no time, like, when I did the double chicken wing thing, there's no, any time, when we practiced that I had any indication, you know, you can screw up a guy's, any, you know, move a certain way at a different time, you're going to screw up a guy's timing. So he sabotaged, you know. Well, I was supposed to go 18 minutes. I didn't get a ring cue to, like, 28 minutes. I never got it. It was 28 minutes. They didn't even say anything about, you know, time. You know, he did what he did, and he tried to dog me for it, so... You dog me, I'll dog you. You know, you don't like it, you do something about it. You know what I mean? You're going to try to treat me, make me look bad, I'll tell the truth about you. Because you know what? The truth about me is what it is. Wikipedia tells the truth about you, and he was nothing but a punk ass nothing.
Hi, Scott. It's Rory and Paul at Team Venom Media. Just wanted to ask, has there been any talks about you going into the TNA Hall of Fame?
No, neither. No, no, not at all. I never even thought about it. It's like, I'm in the Hall of Fame in Michigan, Dan Gable Hall of Fame. They, you know, if I get recognized by Dan Gable, you know what I mean? The guy who I idolized when I was, you know, amateur wrestling and growing up as a kid, it might not, doesn't get any better than that.
Hey, Scott. Tom again from Wrestling Memes. What I was hoping now, I'd just ask you to say something nice about your opponent's Slammiversary. Now I'll just swap it over and say, could you cut a promo on JB and Joseph Park and just tell me what you think of them right now?
It's hard for me to do, you know, do an actual interview right now. It's like...
Hey, Scott. Don't know if
we've... What's that?
Sorry?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Don't know if we've Daily Mirror. I'm just asking, talk to me about, what do you make of Josh Matthews' in-ring ability, considering what he did on Impact a couple of weeks ago?
Well, like I said before, he's not going to have to do too much. His in-ring ability means nothing to me. All he's going to have to do is flop down to his knees and cover somebody. And that's all I care about. If he can fall down face first, that's all I care about. And have the referee call it 1, 2, 3. That's all the ability he needs.
Hi, Scott. This is Philip Hamilton from Bang Media. Thanks for your time. You also were very vocal during this interview about lots of subjects, including Hulk Hogan. After what happened to him in the last couple of years, do you think there's any way back for him to redeem himself in the wrestling business?
Oh, man, the guy, you know, you hear the tapes, he's racist. I mean, you know what you got to watch is go Google it. When he's on the stand with a stupid-ass bandana, which what kangaroo court allowed a guy to testify with a bandana, but then he talks about the size of his penis. It's hilarious. I mean, I don't have to say it. He humiliated himself. So, you know, I don't care anything about Hulk Hogan. He's a piece of garbage.
Hello, hello, Scott Steiner. This is Isaac from the Israeli wrestling community. I wanted to ask you a few questions. First of all, I know that you have been in Israel in the 90s. I wanted to ask, how was it for you? And the second question, what has brought you to go back to TNA? And what is the future holds for you in TNA? And the third question, if you were the president of the company, what the first thing that you have that you maybe have done in TNA? And thank you very much, and we are happy to have you here. Thank you. God bless you, man.
Sure. Well, my experience is wrestling there, it was a lot different than I thought it was, because you hear about all the fighting. But, I mean, we went to Hard Rock Cafe in Tel Aviv, and it was like going, you know, downtown New York. It was really not a war zone. I mean, that was, you know, constantly being overblown by the news, you know. So I was, you know, pleasantly surprised. The people were knowledgeable. You know, there was a lively crowd. So I had a great time. It's always great to see another, you know, part of the world. And it was a great experience. As far as what I'm doing after with TNA is, I mean, I already said if somebody wants me to beat somebody up for him, I'll beat him up. But I haven't had any talks about anything beyond a Slammer anniversary.
Hey, Scott.
And as far as being the president, you know, Jeff don't need my help. He's doing all the right moves. So,
hey, Scott, Jason from Icon versus Icon again. Obviously, we're living in very politically correct times these days, and you're known for being the exact opposite of that. Have in recent years you felt any pressure to kind of tone it down? Has anybody, you know, really, you know, put the screws to you?
Well, that's the problem with society now. It's too politically correct, you know. You can't speak your mind. Freedom of speech. Yeah, I mean, what's it all mean? You know, no, nobody's told me to tone it down. I'm going to be me. I hope I don't change. If I do change, you know, that's the day I'll die. You know, so why be politically correct? Why, you know, I mean, if you're going to say something truthful, and Professor Russ says you can't talk the truth, I mean, it takes, you know, no, the answer is no.
Yeah, hi, Scott. Jim Barcelona at Miami Herald. Just wondering what you thought of MMA, and if that was as big as it is now back then, would that have been something you've gone into?
I think MMA is it's great entertainment. It's a hard way to make a living, you know, having live rounds thrown at you all the time, and, you know. And you're right, it wasn't as big as it was when I was booking the wrestling, professional wrestling. But a lot of guys that I, you know, knew in college, like Mark Coleman and Don Fry, they did very well in MMA. And if you see all the champions, most of them are from amateur backgrounds, you know, because wrestling is the toughest discipline there is. It's the oldest sport known to man. So I'm glad I chose that I have what I do, but I really didn't have a choice back then. It wasn't that big back then.
Hi, Scott. It's Nick Housman from WrestleZone.com one last time. I just wanted to ask, Jeff Jarrett had teased that there was going to be one of the most powerful residents in Orlando for the event. And, you know, powerful Florida residents, you know, some people thought, oh, wow, maybe, you know, red herring of Trump or something like that. Obviously, he's had his wrestling ties. I just wanted to get your take on the kind of current political climate in America and whether you think politics has a place in pro wrestling right now.
No, I don't mix politics with, you know, I don't think politics and sports mix. I don't think they match. I don't think
You know, it's like people try to get away, try to be entertained from the real world. I think that's why they go to, you know, a sporting event or professional wrestling. I don't feel a need to, you know, mix the two. As far as my guess was, I thought Shaquille still lived in Orlando, so I thought it might have been him. But I have no indication of who that most powerful, the most powerful person in Orlando is going to be me when I get down there, but I'm not a resident, so I have no idea who it is.
Of course, as everybody knows, July 5th, Impact Wrestling Day in Orlando. Orlando Mayor Bud Dyer will be at the Impact Zone that night, so be sure to watch for that. We have a few more questions. Scott, we're very appreciative. You've gone 45 minutes for a scheduled 30-minute teleconference, so we'll kick through these last few questions real quickly, and I'd ask if you have not requested if you have asked one question, if you would not come in for another one, and we'll get through everybody right now.
Yeah, a couple more.
Yeah, hey, Scott, Jim Barcelone, Miami Herald. You mentioned Dick the Bruiser early on. Who were some of the wrestlers who did help you in your career getting started, and who do you give credit for some of your successes?
I was good friends with the Macho Man. We used to travel together back in 92 when I went up there. I mean, he was a good guy. I mean, a straight-up guy. But you learn a lot from different people, and a lot of things you just learn by, you know, wrestling somebody, like, over a bunch of times. It's like, you know, I wrestled Arn Anderson and Bobby Eaton a lot. And you've got to learn from those guys. I mean, they were great. But, yeah, you learn everything. You can learn something new every day if you wrestle, you know, wrestle a lot of guys. And then you got to pick and choose what you want to incorporate into your own, you know, what you want to do. So, yeah, there's been a lot of influences in professional wrestling, and I try to incorporate different things, you know, and a lot of it's timing and everything else that you learn that, a lot of people, like on camera, is something they won't pick up, but you learn a lot from wrestling good guys.
Hi, Scott. It's Simon Miller from Simon Miller's Pro Wrestling Podcast here. You mentioned earlier about, you know, how you saw on your road to success that having a physique was really important. Obviously, modern-day pro wrestling has kind of moved away from that, and we've got a lot of smaller guys. And obviously, you were known for your physique. I was just wondering what you thought about that change and whether you thought it was good or bad for the business.
I don't know. When you go to the circus, you want to see the freaks, you know? And that's the way it was when I broke in. Like, you had a lot of huge guys. And that was the climate of professional wrestling. But wrestling is evolved. It's changed. A lot of people like it. A lot of people don't. So, but you know, I like I said, I feel bad for the guys trying to break in now. With this, you know, with the way it's ran. Up there, and then just thank God we got to have guys like Jeff and trying to give people other opportunities to wrestle.
Hey, Scott. Ryan Satin here from Pro Wrestling Sheet. How you doing?
Good. What's up, man?
Hey, two quick questions since a couple of other people got three. I wanted to talk to you about two of the approved topics because they were two of the things that I was most interested in. Number one, first and foremost, you said you wanted to talk about freaks around the world. So I was personally wondering, how many freaks around the world would you say that you have?
Back in 1998, 1999, I broke Will Chamberlain's record from 15,000 women. So,
How many was that?
15,000 women. You ever read Will Chamberlain's book?
No.
Well, he, you know, I always thought, you know, even though it's not listed in a book of
world records. I was a fan of Walt Chamberlain, and that was one record that I tried to break, and, you know, in 1999, I broke it, so.
That's awesome. Well, one more quick question. You said that you wanted to talk about crazy YouTube videos as well. What's your favorite crazy YouTube video?
Right now it's hard for me to just name one, but I think the best one's when people just, you know, fail and fail miserably on attempting something, you know, some athletic achievement or something. It's like, I find that, you know, entertaining. So, I can't really pick one, but, you know, people post their failures on YouTube and can laugh about it. It's hilarious.
Hi, Scott. It's George Bolton again from The Sun. I was just wanted to also ask about your memories of The Undertaker after you teamed up together at Survivor Series in 1993. So what are your memories of working with him?
Say that again. Team with Undertaker?
That was his question.
That was his... Well, I knew him for a long time when he broke in. He also broke in with... Or was there at the same time that it was in Memphis territory. So I know Mark a long time, so, and I've always got along with him. I mean, The Undertaker is one of the great characters of all time in professional wrestling. So, I mean, it was great. We were always, you know, got along. We always had a good time, and it was like he was, you know, one. You know, most athletes that get into professional wrestling are cool, and he was, you know, he's one of them.
Scott, Donald Corby from the Irish Mirror again. I was just asking, one of the topics that was discussed in the email that we were sent was the Impact World title picture. Do you think, once you've come out on top in this match and Slammiversary, if you were to get a chance in Impact Wrestling, would you go after the winner of Lashley and Alberto El Patron?
You never know. Like I said, I haven't thought past this weekend, and if something happens that provokes me, yeah, anything can happen. But I have really never thought about anything beyond this weekend.
Hey, Scott, this is Joe from Toronto, TSPN. Just have a question for you, actually a couple questions. Can you tell me what was your greatest match of all time, greatest city you wrestled in, and how do you think the Wolverines will do this year in the NCAA?
The Wolverines football, I mean, I expect, again, a great, great season from, Jim Harbaugh coach team. You know, he's always has the guys prepared. It's an exciting football. So I think they're going to do great again. And I look forward to it. I mean, I'm going to try to make up for a couple games this year. I haven't been able to go back up in a couple years. So I hope to go up there for a couple games this year. What's your other question?
He had asked you about your greatest match.
Oh, man, that's hard to say. It's like we wrestled pretty much everybody who's to wrestle, but any time you win a world title or a world tag team title is great. I think when wrestled in front of 193,000 people in Paeyang, North Korea, and set the outdoor attendance record, that's pretty memorable. I mean, that's a record that won't be broken. So I'll have to say that right there. Are the ones that stick out in my mind right now.
Hi, Scott. Rod Geary with Wrestling Inc. again. I wanted to ask you on your thoughts of the talent in Impact today in pro wrestling in general, and who you think is the future of the business.
Well, the wrestlers, you know, are very talented. And I think, you know, the future of wrestlers looks good as far as being who's going to be the star of the future. I have to watch it more than I do to say something about that.
Hi, Scott. It's Rory from Team Venom again. Thanks for answering the last question. That was awesome. what I wanted to ask you is, I was a big WCW fan back in the day, and I can remember watching the last Nitro, where you walked in as WCW champion, and took place in the end of the last WCW title match in WCW. What was that experience like for you?
It was terrible. I mean, you're getting bought out by the competition, and you're getting bought out by the company that you kicked their ass for 82 weeks straight, and I had been up there before, and I knew that, they, you know, that's what was coming to, where it's going to be, you know, a monopoly, and it's like, if somebody was happy backstage, they were an idiot.
Well, Scott, I appreciate it, and I'm sure every member of the media appreciates it. You told us you'd give us 30 minutes. You gave us a full hour. Amazing answers. We look forward to Slammiversary this Sunday night, teaming with Josh Matthews against Joseph Park and Jeremy Borash. Any thoughts?
Hey, get that number, that guy who called it, that said he was, that was Joseph Park. Get his number, all right?
I'll text it to you immediately. Again, thank you very much for calling, and we will have more media teleconferences in the post-Slammiversary era. Slammiversary this Sunday night.